With friends like you, who needs enemies? Joseph got that feeling when a friend's broken promise left him in jail. Falsely accused of rape, Joseph found himself rotting in a dungeon, wondering if he'd ever see daylight again. Anyone in this predicament feels a burning sense of injustice. What would you do if caught in this kind of family feud with no apparent way out? Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on When You've Been Wronged. In his message, Family Feuds, Seeing God in Injustice, Erwin Lutzer tells the story of Joseph, sold into slavery by his jealous brothers.
So there was every reason for Joseph to be bitter, having been so cruelly sold. And then he goes to Egypt, and suddenly he is exalted, and he gets to work with Potiphar, who was the head of Pharaoh's secret service detail. It says that Potiphar was responsible for protecting the Pharaoh. And Potiphar's wife and Joseph spent an awful lot of time together, and the Bible says that Joseph was handsome in appearance. And day after day she would persuade him, "Come to bed with me." And day after day Joseph said no. One day, in a fit of passion, she ran and she caught him, and he struggled with her, and he ran out the door, and she caught his coat and had it. And then hell hath no fury like a woman scorn. She takes it to her husband Potiphar, and she said, "You know that servant that you had? You know what he did? He tried to rape me." Her husband believes him, and Joseph is in jail. Not in jail. He's in a dungeon. Terrible, terrible, terrible conditions. So that's what you get when you obey God. You know, there's this theory today, you know, just do what is right and God will work it all out in the end. Oh, really? The scripture says that if you do evil and suffer for it, you have nothing coming to you in the rewards in heaven. But if you do good and suffer for it, this is well pleasing to God. Joseph knew that he was training for another world, and that the rewards of obedience are oftentimes postponed. So there he is. He's thrown in prison. God is with him. It says God was with Joseph when he was exalted. Very same expression is in the next chapter where it says, and God was with him in his prison. God is with us in our successes. He's also with us in our failures. In prison, there are two other people, a cupbearer and a baker. They have dreams. Joseph interprets the dreams and says to the baker, "You're going to die." And he says to the cupbearer, "You're going to live, and you're going to be giving the cup to Pharaoh very soon." And he says, "Please, when you do that, would you remember me? Would you remember me and tell Pharaoh that I shouldn't be here? And furthermore, please tell him that I'm innocent and that I should be released." And the chapter ends with this amazing statement. But the cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. All right, you're in the dungeon now. Joseph there has to die three deaths. Three deaths he dies in the dungeon. First of all, death to his family. He has no emails. He has no way to telephone to see whether his dad is still alive. No telegrams, no communication. He doesn't know what's happening at home. He has to die to his family and his brothers who so cruelly and unjustly treated him. He has to die to his reputation because everyone in the palace believes he's a rapist. So he has to die to that. He knows the whispers that are going on about him and how evil he is. He knows the truth, but he has to die to his reputation. He also has to die to his friends. You know, what are friends for if they can't help you when you're in trouble? Here you help the cupbearer, and he gets out, and you ask him to do you a favor, and he doesn't. He forgets you. He also has to die to all of his dreams and his plans. And there he dies the death. Very interesting commentary in the book of Psalms about that. It says regarding Joseph, they put his feet in fetters, and there the word of God tested him. Joseph knew that he was in prison by the divine will and the purpose of God. So he had every reason to be bitter, and yet he is today a model on forgiveness. And what we're going to do is to give you five tests, five ways to describe Joseph's reaction and why it was that his conscience was totally clear and he could release his brothers. And those five tests are for you, and they're for me, and for anyone who's listening to this, whether by radio or internet or cassette tape or CD. I'm speaking to you today, not the person whom you think needs it, but to you. Amen. First of all, he chose to live in the future, not the past. Now we are going to ask you to turn, first of all, to chapter 41 of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 41, Joseph is released from prison. He is given a position of responsibility. We cannot go into the details of what all that means, but this is what the text says after Joseph was married. After he gets out of prison, he marries. And he has two sons, and it says in chapter 41, verse 51, Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, for he says, God has made me to forget all my hardship and all my father's house. God caused me to forget. And then the second son, he says, Ephraim, because that means God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Joseph is saying that, terrible though it was, all the nights of crying and weeping in loneliness, all those days in the dungeon, which remember, he did not know when or if those days would ever end. All of that affliction, he says, God has caused me to forget it. He said, I refuse to live in the past. I refuse to allow my past to be the prism through which I view all events that continues to color and to destroy any hope of being fruitful in the present or the future. God has caused me to forget the past and not be bound by it. What Joseph is saying is, I refuse to be a victim. I will be a victor with the help of God. You know, this is, of course, an example of how Jesus also endured his injustice. It says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus said this. He said, I will go to the cross and look beyond the cross. And in looking beyond that cross to glory, I'll endure the cross. I'll see that affliction is taking place, but fruitfulness lies ahead. I will refuse, absolutely refuse, to be the kind of person who says that my past has to color and control and dictate and ruin anything that I can do in the future because of what happened to me. God will cause me to forget. Now here's my question to you, test number one. Do you live with more memories than you do dreams? Is it possible that because of what happened to you, everything is colored, that root of bitterness springs up, and many people are defiled because you refuse to forget and you refuse to trust for your future? Second, notice this, he chose to set his brothers free. Now this is in chapter 45, and please turn to that because we have to leave out all of these intriguing details. Joseph puts his brothers through a series of tests. And he does this to know that he doesn't tell them immediately he forgives them. He wants to see whether or not he can trust them first, because reconciliation itself also needs trust. Remember, reconciliation needs trust, it needs respect, and it needs forgiveness. It needs all three. And in this series of messages, there is going to be a message just on the topic of reconciliation. So Joseph now is going to reveal himself to his brothers. Chapter 45, verse 4, Joseph said to his brothers, come near to me, please, and they came. And now he's going to reveal who he is after all of these events. And now, he says, I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. He's saying, don't be mad at yourself for what you did. He set his brothers free. Most of us in that situation, we'd have said, okay, you guys, I forgive you, but I want to tell you a thing or two. I just want you to get clear what it was like for me. Have you ever put yourself in my sandals? Have you ever thought of what it was like at the age of 17 to be sold like that, to go from pillar to post, to be thrown in jail for 2 years? Do you realize what you guys did to me? Sure, I'll forgive you, but I just want you to know how deeply you've wounded me. In fact, what he does is he asks that everybody else be put out of the room because he didn't even want the Egyptians to know what his brothers had done so that the Egyptians would not think ill of them. So he shuts everybody out and says, I need to just be with my brothers. And that's the best way that reconciliation takes place, just with the ones that wounded you. And so he says, let's do it here. But I want you to know, don't be angry with yourselves. I'm not going to go into a laundry list of all the ugly things that happened because of what you did.
This is Pastor Lutzer. This story of Joseph is so remarkable, isn't it? Because we have to remember that Joseph lived long before the truths of the New Testament. Joseph did not know anything about Romans chapter 8, verse 28, that all things work together for good. He didn't know that. He didn't have Jesus Christ teaching on forgiveness. In fact, when you think back about what he knew, it was just the revelations that God had given to his ancestors, to Abraham, and then, of course, to Isaac, to Jacob. And Joseph was in the midst of that kind of an experience, and from what he knew of God, he believed that God was greater than the offenses that had been done against him. And his remarkable ability to be able to release those feelings to God and not take it out on his brothers is surely an example for us, isn't it? As I travel around the country, I meet so many people that have deep offenses that they are carrying in their hearts. And I need to tell you that many people have been terribly misused and sinned against and abused. I am not for one moment trying to minimize what they are dealing with. But I look at the clarity of Joseph's life, his ability to simply give it all up to God and to believe that God is going to do right. My friend today, do you have that kind of faith? I'm speaking to someone going through that time of bitterness. It's eating you alive. You willing to take a leaf from Joseph's book and to simply say, I release those who have hurt me in Jesus' name, believing that God will do right by them and will judge them. But the matter is out of my hands. May God grant us that freedom.
Erwin Lutzer with part two of Family Feuds, Seeing God in Injustice. The fourth of eight messages on When You've Been Wronged. Tomorrow, the drama of a man who was wronged, forgiving those who wronged him. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.